The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 14, the Apostle Paul instructs us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This means to put on or to develop the very character of Jesus Christ. Paul continues to give us insight in Christ's and really God's character when we read Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. So if we are to develop the character of Jesus Christ, we definitely need to be developing meekness. Just what is meekness, and how do we go about developing it? Many associate meekness with weakness. A modern English dictionary or thesaurus makes it clear why meekness is associated with weakness, noticing its synonyms as listed in the Reader's Digest Oxford Complete Word Finder. We read it means tame or timid, unambitious, retiring, weak, docile, repressed, spiritless, broken, and even wimpish. Do these terms describe the warrior king like David, a man greatly beloved by God, or Paul, the fearless and tireless apostle who courageously faced his share and more of dangerous, painful persecutions? No. Yet once we understand what biblical meekness is, we can easily see that these men were indeed meek. Many think meekness is an attribute that allows others to run over you, to take advantage of you because you are afraid of them. And this is also not true. In fact, some of the strongest men who have ever lived were meek. Moses was a great leader. He stood up to the most powerful leader in the world, Pharaoh Ramses. He led God's people through the wilderness to the border of the Promised Land. Yet in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3, we read, "Now the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Moses is described as the meekest man of his time, yet his decisive actions do not seem to fit the popular concept of meekness. His demand to Pharaoh to let Israel go was forceful and followed up with action. When Israel worshipped the golden calf, his anger burned, and before it was over, he had taken the calf, which they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, and made the children of Israel drink it. A meek individual isn't afraid to take charge when necessary. As I said before, weakness and meekness are not the same thing. Jesus Christ wasn't afraid of the violent windstorms that would come up, or was he concerned about being out in a boat when large waves would come up? Twice, Christ chased out the money changers out of the temple with a whip made from cords. This describes a person who can be assertive when needed, yet Christ was also very meek. Christ never said, "Blessed are the cowardly." We read in Matthew 11, verse 28, where Christ equates meekness with lowliness. Reading in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Meekness is the absolute ceasing to fight for your own agenda and believing that God will fight on our behalf for His. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. A meek person is not occupied with their self. After all, doesn't our turmoil and agitation so often result from seeking only for ourselves what we want? In the truest sense, then, a meek person is one who has learned to die to self. And that takes faith courage and perseverance, not necessarily traits the world would associate with meekness. Remember the crisis that Abram faced in deciding with his nephew Lot how to divide up the land? In view of the fact that God had promised to make of his descendants a great nation, Abraham might have felt justified in taking the best for himself. Instead, Abraham allowed Lot to choose first, saying that he would take what was left over. Can you see how Abraham's action was the result of meekness? Notice in chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. So Abraham left to Lot. Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Jesus Christ explains in the New Testament why we should embrace his way of life. As our Lord and Master, he's not harsh, overbearing, and oppressive, but gentle in his government. His laws are also reasonable and easy to obey. Neither he or they enslave us. He emphasizes the gentle aspect of meekness towards others. From this, we begin to see why meekness must be a very characteristic of those who will enter into God's kingdom and rule with him. Because God governs in meekness, we must also. Paul also puts the importance of meekness and being lowly in heart together as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 in the King James Version, beginning in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, or meekness in the King James Version, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul was by far the most educated of the apostles and the one, as far as we can tell, that God used most widely and effectively in his service. Yet Paul refused to put any confidence in himself, in the flesh, as he states in Philippians 3, verse 3. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul knew he was what he was only by the grace of God, and through Christ who strengthened him. Paul went about his ministry appealing to people and pleading with them, as he himself tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, where we read, Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, being absent, and bold towards you. Many believe that meekness is one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. Some have tried to use the word humility as its equivalent, but both the Hebrew and the Greek have specific words that are synonyms for humility. Besides, humility does not fully catch its meaning. Another word associated with meekness is gentleness, but the same is true for gentleness as humility. Both are part of meekness, but it is not really either. Its characteristics and use are much more involved than either of them. The Greek word in the New Testament is translated meek in some ways means mild, gentle, and soft. I have trained individuals to become driving instructors for many years, and one thing I tried to instill in them was to make sure and train their own students that just because you may legally have the right of way, do not demand on taking it. Many drivers who demand the right of way will either find themselves in the emergency ward of a hospital, or they will be making a fast trip to their own funeral. And Jesus Christ set the tone for this approach in his discussion with the sons of Zebedee and the other disciples. Notice Christ said in Matthew 20, verse 25, But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is an attitude of meekness. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we must be developing and building it. Another way of looking at meekness is that it is a tolerant, yielding spirit, like having the right of way, but not demanding it. So in Mark 14, verse 36, we read, "And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Christ's willing attitude to die for mankind was an attitude of meekness. He was not insisting on having his own way. Acting selfishly is not acting with meekness. Giving up the self is not easy, but with God's help, we can do it. Meekness is necessary for receiving and understanding God's word. Notice James chapter 1, verse 21, where we read, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." A person who does not have the spirit of meekness cannot receive or understand God's word because there is a conflict of interest. And we know that meekness is one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, we read, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness." Genuine meekness is a gift from God. It is not something you can work up to. Christ presents meekness as a highly desirable quality. Mr. E.D. Hulse said, "Humility is a strange thing. The minute you think you've got it, you've lost it." He wrote, "A small town wanted to recognize and reward its meekest citizen. A survey was taken of their small community, which eventually identified this person. In a ceremony attended by all the important people, the meekest citizen was presented with a ribbon on which was inscribed the words, 'The meekest man in town.' However, the next day they had to take the ribbon away because he was wearing it." There are many ways we can demonstrate an attitude of meekness. In fact, we are demonstrating love to God and love to others when we treat them with meekness. Let's take a look at a couple of examples of a meek attitude. Let's say your supervisor at work asks you to perform a task that's really not part of your normal duties. You're very busy and you notice a coworker hasn't had much to do and has been engaging in PR activities with other coworkers. Our human nature would immediately react in a defensive attitude and tell the supervisor, "I can't do it, I'm much too busy for this job. Why don't you give it to so-and-so who really isn't doing anything anyway?" Someone with a meek attitude would approach the problem in a tone of friendliness, such as, "I'd be happy to take care of it for you. Would you like to have it done immediately, or should I finish the job that you asked me to do and to have ready in an hour?" As you can understand, this attitude will prevent any offensive words by the supervisor. So employees, do you follow your employer's instructions without insisting that things be done your way? Do you refuse to get angry and upset when someone else is promoted over you? This is showing a meek attitude. If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write in for two booklets, Journey to the Kingdom and Helping Them Grow. All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us at the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675 and request those free booklets, Journey to the Kingdom and Helping Them Grow. That's 573-238-3675. You may also order these or any other booklets from our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. If you cannot remember the names of the booklets offered, just ask for broadcast number 24. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and The Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764.